Okay, so we've moved over onto the other byway.
Yeah, I mean, my view on this was that the need for people to back up their data personally was made sufficiently clear to lab users. I mean, I guess.
She didn't miss it.
Right, okay. As long as she misses it, then that's fine. All right, I'm just thinking, you know, sometimes when there's a process error like that, you think, oh, then there's something we should change, like make the sign in bigger red letters. But in our case, I don't think there's anything more we can do, really.
No.
So. Well, I doubt anybody will do that again because that'll get around.
It's a bit shocking worried.
Yeah, we've got the mailing list up now, isn't it?
Yeah,
so it's
a
anyone should know about it now.
Yeah, there was a mailing list before.
Mm-hmm.
They just revived that, right?
Frank went through it, deleted the people that were have gone or whatever and replaced them. So the list is now updated.
Yeah, so everyone on that list has now been reminded. Yeah, don't store anything sensitive on. Yeah, don't store anything you care about on the machines. So.
Yeah.
Right. And we don't know, so there's every chance of this falling over again if it's a hardware thing, right?
Yeah,
right.
No,
there's
no,
not
no,
much
no.
we can do about that apart from.
Yeah, I mean, I did do hard drive check and memory check, and it says there's no problems, but something caused it to go wrong in the first place.
Yes.
So
no, yeah.
We don't know. Just fingers crossed and hope. It's just a software thing that we can just fix like that, and that'll be it.
Yeah. So how long does this put you back for? Is it, how much disruption does this cause? Is this a day, two days?
Routine a bit last week at the time, I think.
Yeah.
And then it'll be hopefully no more than, 20 minutes today.
So we're trying to get done today. Yeah, get Windows back on there, try and get Camtasia on there, and get that tested out. And then that'll be, I think that's everything we need before you start running the experiments, isn't it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I saw a bunch of stuff about software updates. That's unrelated to this problem, right?
You mean from
I didn't read them. I saw like 5 messages go back and forth. Maybe they were in the wrong subject header.
Over the last week, Joe has produced another version of the model builder.
Oh, no, I think the Android software.
That was about a few weeks ago.
So it's unrelated, it's not the.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And was running because Frank did all that because he then had an experiment, so he ran an experiment.
So did he get his data in, or is this putting his schedule back?
He's done his.
He's done.
His
okay.
Days. He backs up.
Right. Well, unfortunate, but it sounds like you guys are well placed for dealing with it, so better you than me.
I have managed to get things working on Monday, so everything went down like on Tuesday morning. So I managed to get everything working on Monday to show that the JCT was actually working, collaborating between the two machines.
Yeah.
I didn't have the eye tracker stuff working, because it was just me running around the lab, so I have to. Once it's reinstalled, have to actually do a proper.
Oh, so you need to borrow somebody's head and mouth and stuff to run it, right?
Yeah. But it looks like it was doing all the calibration and drift correction things that Ellen was wanting on it. So.
Yeah.
So I don't think anything to add to the software for that part.
Mm-hmm. So I've got a new trainee who might need amusement at some point. So if you need to borrow a head that talks that doesn't necessarily need to do much else, I'll ask her if she'd mind coming down and helping you out for a while. But I guess Ellen was going to be your.
Right. Yes, but she's not around, so.
Mine is, well, she's actually climbing Ben Nevis today, I think. but she'll be back tomorrow. Her name's Nika. Did you guys meet her?
Don't think so.
This is
sound familiar.
Might find amusing to look at, so I'll see if she'd be willing to.
I did meet someone from another project of yours on Wednesday evening. Heidi.
Oh, yeah, Heidi.
Gesture.
Oh, yeah, she's good.
Yeah.
You guys might actually have something in common because she does, stuff in video coding and gesture.
Yeah.
And autism.
And autism.
He's
been volunteered.
Well, no, I will actually give the option, but it sounds like the kind of thing where, quite useful when you're at that stage to see the different kinds of technologies you can use.
Yeah, so try and get Camtasia up and running so I can try it out when we've got her coming. And sort of do a run through a proper pilot, just to
do something. It starts and finishes when it's meant to, and that sort of thing as well.
I'll make sure they can actually pick up the audio signal as well. But the audio signal should be coming out to speakers once it's set up properly, so that should make that slightly easier.
The bleep is a hardware bleep originally, and so it comes from the PC, which is outside the soundproof box.
Oops. Well, you found that then.
Yeah. But yeah, so unfortunately the speakers are on the monitors inside the room, so as long as, and what was that? I'm just going to set up so the whatever the asterisk sound is in Windows is what gets played. So you're saying just change the sound to whatever you like, just through the Windows control panel.
Okay, so we want one you can pick up using MATLAB or something, right?
Yeah. So I'll have that running over the weekend. Last week I tried it with the 1 kHz sound, and it could detect it, but it wasn't very clear. Did it with 10 kHz, and it's just really clear. You can tell exactly where the beep is.
Perfect.
So it's just a matter of you should basically just play 10 kHz sound over the speech, and then just compare the two signals basically. So I've got a little script for doing it. So.
Perfect. So you're going to bank the script someplace.
Yeah.
It's all set up running.
Yeah.
Because we won't know. Right. Well, that all sounds good.
What else? We have altered the task program. It's to put the little eye icon and the mouse.
Yeah. The one in Jeff's install should have that now. We'll double check my install on my track machines, but yeah, should be updated with that then.
Rather than just a blob, we wanted something like more looking eye, so that that was the eye.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we've got like a big circle with a white circle in the middle for an eye, and we've got like a rectangle with two rectangle buttons on it for a mouse.
Oh, okay.
So.
Very nice, very pretty. It doesn't get in the way of seeing what's underneath?
Oh, no, they're the same size as the original blobs, basically. I think the mouse is slightly bigger, but it's not.
It's not hugely bigger.
So.
I can see why that's useful.
Yeah, and if it gets a very problem in the pilot, I can easily reduce the size of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's not too bad.
Or get a reasonable size so that if they're looking at it, we know they're looking at it. So it has to be a reasonable target for the tracking purposes.
Yeah.
Although, if you had a big thing and it was jiggling around like anybody's business, like real life track crisis, then you might find that a little bit disconcerting. I mean, small things you kind of expect to jiggle around in.
Mm-hmm. I suppose a larger, more oscillation appears. It isn't that big, so.
It's quivering. That's all fine. What else? You were saying Joe with Model Builder.
Yes, he's produced another version that doesn't have the overlap problem.
The
collision, so polygons now don't.
Oh, that's good.
Marlow has discovered something strange about the orientation of parallelograms from when it was constructed to when it appears in the actual task. But I think that might be something to do with the original configuration and the parts that weren't the same across the two. So I'll check that out to see if it really is a problem or not.
Okay.
Basically, the parallelogram was appearing in as a mirror image of what it was like in the model builder.
Really?
Just totally flipped in a mirror image, not rotated, so it wasn't anything to do with rotation.
Just the parallelogram?
Yeah, just the parallelogram. So, not entirely sure. It must be some way of how the vertices were described or defined in one way compared to something else.
Right. Okay. So your job in this is to ensure that it actually is a bug, and then pass it to Jeff.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. I mean, this geometry stuff is really tricky if you don't do the full box and stuff in your head well. So I can imagine.
Well.
Because I could get it backwards easily. So it is just this normal process.
The other thing we've done is looked at, not for this current experiment, but for future, when we've got to build bizarre parts like aircraft wings and things, something like Xfig can output the vertex points for creating the actual polygons in the first place. Because the model builder assumes that there's an existing set of
Yeah, so you need to draw them.
So you need to draw them
in.
Oh,
so yeah, I suggested you do that in Xfig. Is that a reasonable thing to do?
Yeah, so you can give them Xfig, export them as SVG, and you just get a camera, just get a list of XY coordinates, and then I'll just run a little script that turns those XY coordinates into a part.
Yeah, so this falls down completely if Nijmegen can't run Xfig. So you better check that with him, right?
Well, the thing is, it's SVG, so long as I've got something that will output SVG.
Okay, but they may need help finding the something if they can't do Xfig, I suppose.
Yeah, so I'll have a look at that. But there must be plenty of Windows things that like output SVG. I know.
Microsoft, though? I mean, well.
I know Adobe and things have packages that do it, but obviously they're like a few hundred pounds.
They're great, yeah.
But I'd be very surprised if there wasn't a free package for doing that. I have a feeling that the Amaya, the W3C browser, does it. I have a feeling that can actually edit SVG files.
So I wouldn't do any work to try and find out what will output SVG. Just ask them, look, you know, say you need something that does SVG, and then if they come back and say, huh, then you may need to poodle around a bit looking for something. But
yeah.
You know, let them say they've got a problem before you spend time trying to figure out what'll do it.
It's not an immediate problem anyway, but I thought it was worth, before Joey disappears, just checking that the model builder is not restricted to just doing the tangrams or something. So it does look like it's...
I can imagine there being shapes that you could construct in SVG format that would fox the model builder in some way. I don't know, because you don't have specs about what sorts of shapes are allowed, right?
No, but as long as there's solid polygons, it should be right.
Right, it doesn't matter whether they're convex or concave in funny ways.
Well, hopefully that's not what the parallelogram problem is, because it does have angles and things.
I've created a convex part, just the next big.
It just
had to be a convex part that I was playing with, so it hadn't like fine. It didn't have any self-intersections, so that might be a problem. So I'll have to check that. But
would we want, by self-intersection, you mean?
Yeah, but part that crosses over itself.
You mean like?
Yeah, so like we'll only be working to see with sort of solid, obvious polygons and this part. Because they'll have to have a central point anyway for rotation.
Oh, but by self-intersection here, I'll draw here. If I can find the right end pen. Do you mean something like that?
Yeah, that sort of thing, yeah. So.
And you can rule out something like that, right? Because that's two parts, right?
I would consider that two parts, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some rainy day, you might want to think about. Well, I don't know. I mean, later on, we can fix it if it turns out there's parts. It's not urgent now. I think this isn't important enough.
Yeah, so for now, we'll just do the non-intersecting. At the moment, the SVG stuff can act for ones which aren't closed polygons, but once they actually turn up in the parts list, it creates a closed polygon just by linking them endpoint to the start point. So as long as they're drawn well enough, it should be alright. Let Nijmegen find an SVG.
Yeah.
So find it does SVG, and then we'll see if there's any problems.
But if they have trouble, you know, half an hour googling and helping them is probably worthwhile. Sometimes people, I mean, I wouldn't expect them to have any trouble finding something because Jakey's quite up with all these things.
It might be worth just checking what software they are using, because it might create output slightly different from Xfig.
Well, let's encourage them not to use. Any software that might have idiosyncratic ideas about what SVG is, she says delicately.
Microsoft version of SVG or something.
Ooh, that I wasn't going to say. I have no idea whether they have idiosyncratic SVG output or whatever. But But
Yeah,
the track record on some of the other standards has not, there have been slightly strange things about it, so. But Maya, you know, I mean, that should be.
That should be fun. Yeah, I think it does SVGA output. So I can need to double check if my main can't find anything.
I haven't looked through other mail. I did see something from Marlus. Is there anything they're waiting on from us that is a problem, or are they reasonably happy at the moment?
I think they're not waiting anything from us. They've dumped the pilot studies that they generated based on the task with their English participants.
Oh, they're doing the pilots?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
But they haven't done anything with it other than
dump the data.
Dump the data.
Where is it?
They dumped it on the
ESCW
server, but I copied it onto the.
Well, that's okay.
ESCW.
You know, we're not using that much data, it's just for interim. And they have to get it from somewhere.
Yeah.
We had a brief discussion just before I left about this idea of exchanging data by FireWire draft. And I don't know if that ever got resolved, but
nothing further is.
You know, that's not fast enough for little things like this. I think PSCW is the right way to exchange things. We just have to wipe this stuff off and make separate copies after that.
And I've sent the thing off to Marlowe's, trying to encourage her again to register with the CSV and
the CBS.
What CBS and what to do and which bit of software I use. It seems to be quite easy.
Oh, so you're managing that okay, and you haven't run into CBS before?
No.
Okay.
But
okay.
Yes and no, as in, yes, it's new and no.
Yeah. Well, that's reassuring.
So far.
Yeah.
Of course, he's sitting on the next desk.
Yes. and I am just using it through a Windows bolt on piece of software.
Yeah, that was easy enough to install, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, straightforward and then.
Copy and paste
right
stuff out the wiki. So.
Right click things and Windows Explorer, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, she'll have to use the CBS the next one because we don't really have a good way of doing this otherwise.
I was going to double check them when I could access the CBS from home when I was working from home last week on Thursday. I managed to get in and just check the stuff and make sure it was all.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure I could access it. So they shouldn't have any trouble accessing it once they've got the logins.
No, that's it. We'll never see them here again. Well, I might get a better computer at home as well.
Not yet.
Right. And what about the project as a whole? Is there anything that Mood or anybody is after that we aren't supplying? Not at the moment.
Nope,
right?
Not at the moment. The only thing that's been going around is the version of a flyer. I don't know what the real purpose of these little folded up A4 flyers.
They're critical to the successful project. So.
Are they just for distribution at conferences?
And general places, but yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about it unless
well, I. Well, I'm not really
group.
Bothering,
yeah.
But the group as a whole at the moment.
Uh-huh.
I've circulated travel, etc., to Munich. For Ellen, John, and myself. And we're all off on the 14th December.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back on Friday.
And John's going.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. That'll be useful for the WP7 stuff, so. Well, while you do that, I'll be trained in how to hire people. So.
That's me. How to hire or how to interview, is that it?
Both.
Right.
So, is there anything else? What have you got on for the rest of the week besides getting this stuff up and running again?
Once the Trello Camtasia stuff, obviously, if there's any problems, go to try and fix them. If there isn't any problems, the next thing I'm working on is the GDF stuff. So I've put on a DTD and a sample XML file on Wiki for the GDF. So but based on some stuff you put on there on the GDF specification.
So are you concerned about it that I should be looking at it, or are you happy with it? I mean, I sort of wrote the initial draft draft of it, I suppose.
Yeah, I changed a couple of things from your original draft, so there's no longer a separate thing for creating new parts. So we just put a start and end time on each part. So you had a thing called, I think it was mold or something you said, which was sort of to create a new part, as an action to create a new part. But I gave each part a start time and end time, so you can see when the parts were created. So I'm not sure if you want to keep the mold or not.
I'll have to look. I can't remember how this works now, because it was a while ago.
Yeah, it's just the GDF specification page on the wiki.
So.
I'm trying to put in justification for the change I made on the page. So, but I'll send it out for review so that anyone who's going to be using the format can have a look at it.
Yeah, and you'll get nothing back unless I look at it. So, best for me to do that. I mean, it's really good that you're putting things out for review and saying like why for stuff. But we also don't want to burn too much of your time recording stuff that nobody's ever going to look at necessarily. So I mean, this might be a good case for it, or it might be that you should just like, you know, talk to me about the stuff if I happen to be around at the time that you're doing it, and not so. If the writing stuff down on the wiki gets to be too high a proportion of things, then you don't necessarily want to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I think it's great to have the records, and that's really important, especially in big dispersed groups, but this is kind of a smaller group. So, you know, we can do things more informally where you feel the wikis are getting in the way of things.
Yeah. So, well, certainly this, I mean, it's helpful. It was helpful for me to put it up on the wiki, because I could actually think about it as I put it out and say, well, this is why I want to do things this way.
Oh yeah, well, if it aids you in thinking to write it down, then definitely write it down. Because we want clear thinking. I can't actually remember how it worked with the molds. I mean, I wanted to make sure that, no, I can't even remember. So I'll look at it.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I'm sure it's fine, because it's just my memory of things.
I'll have to get to grips with Camtasia properly to generate the little sort of introductory video, I suppose, for instructional purposes in the beginning of the experiment, so people will be able to see example movements and things like that.
So is that kind of a voiceover, or is it? We had discussions before you started about whether it should be completely silent, so that they could use, in case we ever wanted to do this
in Dutch.
And so, you know, you could just have sort of, well, I think we discussed having it with an English voiceover and having it with no voiceover, and then having it just with cartoon noises or something like boof, or, you know, when it gets break.
Right,
so
that was something before me, so.
I'm making an imagine.
I know Camtasia, if you've got a Camtasia project, you can have the video and audio stored separately.
So we could produce a Dutch voiceover for the same thing.
So we just send the Dutch team, the video and our audio, and then they can easily create their audio out of.
I think it'd be more sensible just to do the video part of it first, and then add the voiceover afterwards.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to do it all at once.
Yeah.
The other issue is if we do a voiceover, does that affect the language that the people choose? So that would be another reason for not doing
that.
Before
you start talking about talking about the parts, it's naming them or anything like that.
Yeah. So I think maybe that was another reason for just having
boof. Or getting no noise in fact, I think it's probably.
Or ding for
you know, probably actually not even the sound effects, because otherwise they'll expect that in the real experiment. And that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So
well,
if they move a piece and it breaks and they don't hear this crash, and they go, oh, what's, you know, what's happened? Is that real? What happened?
Well, they need some way to make sure that they actually notice the thing they're trying to explain to them if there's no voice.
One thing that Camtasia can do, you can have little videos, and rather than getting any cameras for doing that, you could like have videos of people clicking on the mouse and sort of, or whatever else.
Or you could just point to, you know, a great big arrow that points at the two pieces that broke.
Yeah, so I think you can generate.
You can generate call outs and whatever, so. Well, yeah, I'm sure there must be a way of putting big arrows or whatever.
So you're going to clear her, however you do this for that one, right? Because she's the one that has thoughts about the language and stuff.
Yes, but in our discussion, we haven't mentioned it was assumed there'd be a voiceover, but.
Well, remind her that there was a question about what the other one.
I'll do that. Yes, because we've got to think of the instructions and basic introduction to all as well. That's I did email Nijmegen to ask if they had a set of instructions they'd given there.
I don't mind, it's just doctrine.
Probably. I suspect so, because I haven't had a reply back.
I think it's really up to us to.
Yeah, to make it. It was just in case they had.
Is it hard? You don't want to give them the specification, you know, because that's in too highfalutin in the language, but it can't be that hard to generate something that says.
No, I should check. I'll just be bothered enough with it.
On my holidays, we encountered a children's toy shop where there were tangrams. And my son reminded me that he hasn't been able to find his tangram set.
Oh, right, you want to give back?
Well,
okay.
Not if you guys are using it. Do you find it helpful to have it?
Actually, I could probably just photocopy the manual.
Oh, but it's so tactile to have little metal bits. If you're using it, keep it. He's got plenty of toys. If you're not,
right.
If you're not using it, then I'll take it back.
Hopefully need it for more than another week or two anyway, so
it's not a worry. The lab has plenty of toys.
I was looking at the complexity sort of aspect of the tangrams in that booklet. It's not quite that they just get harder, it kind of have pages of similar types.
Oh, similar types, aren't
they? Yeah, so one page will have parts that are kind of similar to each other, and then you move over to a different almost type of design or style.
Yeah.
So it's not quite as progressive in complexity.
Right. So how are you going to get your complexity ratings? Google.
Google.
Is there a big tangram community that ranks these things? Like, here, that's just one booklet that came with one set of tangrams.
I'll try.
Is it obvious, like, when you look at these things?
Well, I'm hoping the Dutch input will allow us to sort of have a rough idea of what was suitable complexity for the task.
But that still won't tell you. Well, how many tangrams are there that they're using? 15 or something? No.
No, not even that. But of this relevant type to what we're wanting to use, probably 3.
So that's not going to tell you anything about relative complexity. That's just going to tell you where in the span you want to be. You still need some kind of scale for these things.
Yeah.
If you look at them, do you just know?
No.
No.
Well, I do.
What about him?
No.
Mr. Geometry. Can you tell us by looking at these how hard people find them? Or?
I wouldn't know. No.
Right.
I'll try to Google people and see if there's if there are some sort of ranking sites or whatever.
Who in psychology already uses tangrams that's still around? People have been using tangrams for ages, so there must be somebody with a folk wisdom you can contact.
I'll try and find out. I don't know offhand.
Right. I only know ancient papers, so like late 80s. Do people still use tangrams?
I've not encountered them.
Oh, so we're very old-fashioned.
Maybe they just don't use anything like that, I suppose.
Well, there was stuff in the 70s and the 80s, right?
So I'm not sure if anything's happened since
then. Right. Wow. The old tasks are the best. So I'm not going to let that worry. So, sorry, that was I think a big diversion, and we were talking about what you were gonna do next after all this stuff was up, and I was gonna look at the GDF spec. Are the rest of the, is the rest of what you should do with that software fairly clear? Because this is about the analysis.
Yeah.
You really only need Robin, right?
Yeah. I'll just do one with Robin, what analysis we need to get out of the GDF format. So I'm gonna, basically, I've got, the Jest Analyzer's got the basis for a ASCII to GDF converter. So what we're going to do is actually create an output, a GDF output part to it. Because the output's video, but it does have internal structures that will make it easy to do the XML. So that's what we're going to look at. And then once we've done that, I can look at the whatever analysis we need to get done out of the GDF.
Yeah, because there are these issues about how you calculate IIlag and, you know, what are the analyses we want out of this that aren't settled, but I think, you know, Robin is the person who knows the most about what's required there. And I can imagine it's going to take a little while. I can imagine, you know, so that might be the focus of discussions next week or something, right? That,
homing parameters and choose the right settings.
So you might want to try and come, if you get that far, try and come equipped with a list of the kind of things you want out of it and see what they look through and see. That one might help you solve what kinds of things want to make a list.
I'm sure she'll use it.
Yeah, so, but it'd be good to, you know, make sure once we have a list of the things that we think we're getting out of it, that it matches her intentions for what we were supposed to get out of it. So, you know, if we do talk about that, then it might be nice to have her along for it.
I haven't found it physically yet, but a reference to a 1992 paper, it's in the Royal Proceedings or something or other, somewhere, based on an experiment that had blocks, a model, blocks, parts, and then an area where people had to build, you know, replicate the model. Just one person at a time, of course, but it did involve eye movements and monitoring where they're looking compared to the hand movements.
Who was that then?
Ballard.
Okay.
Back in 92.
Are they still in the business?
Yes, I think so.
Where are they?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, they might have focused in on the complexity, right?
Yeah.
So, I think she's not that long ago.
So,
she's
well,
is really. Is it bigger than yet?
That's what I'll have to try and find out. So.
Well, they still do interlibrary loans and stuff, so.
If not, the National Library's going to happen.
So did we think next week that's what we're going to talk about? Because we don't want to ask Ellen ahead of time if she wants to come along for a discussion about...
She's not here next week anyway.
Oh, well, that's fine then.
It's next Wednesday or Thursday before she's back.
Okay. Oh yeah, her stuff is getting blocked off the mailing list because she's not mailing from her normal account.
Oh, is that what? Yeah, she's got a Yahoo account or something.
Yeah.
Forwarded.
And I can't figure out any way to just approve messages from her without her subscribing at that account. So.
If things haven't been getting through well.
There's only one message so far. It didn't say much. Anything else?
No, I think that's it. I get working on the campaign stuff this week, and then so once we've got some idea of what analysis we want out of this, I can think about whether GDF's got everything we need in it, what else.
So there's the provisional list of what we need on the wiki anyway.
Yeah. So I'll double check the GDF specification against that, just to make sure it's got everything you say you say you need from that.
But I don't think that list is our final word on things.
I added things to it.
Oh, well, maybe it is then.
Well, I don't know when you last looked at it, but when I added it, it was something in the last 2 weeks anyway.
God, I don't think I was fully paying attention. I'm not going to have use on this anyway. What I'm really worried about is making sure that there's no big surprises for Ellen and JP, you know, when they suddenly discover that they're assuming some analysis is in there and we didn't put it in. Yeah, because now is the time for us to be figuring out what we want out of that data I think getting you to write the stuff, or getting JP to write the one-dimensional analysis that he was talking about.
Yeah, the thing, we've got all the data from the ASCII format at the moment, it's just a matter of what data we need to pull out of that into the GDF so we can actually do the proper analysis. Because I think all the analysis is going to be run off the GDF format, because we decided that if we were looking at dynamic regions and whatever else, it has to be.
Dynamic regions that I think might cause a bit of trouble.
Yeah, which is why we have to do it off the GDF as opposed to the EDF format.
Oh, right, okay, so actually you're breaking this down into two steps now. One is just straight extraction from the ASCII, and the other one is any post-analysis that adds information by analyzing it. Is that?
So the GDF, it's got the stuff in the EDF, such as the ASCII file, and things like max movements and things like that.
Yeah,
and
it's just anything that's got shoved through the ASCII.
And then on top of that, GDF will also have information such as, right, at this point in time, they're looking at new parts area, or they're
That is post analysis.
The GDF is going to have that sort of information in it, and then also because it's an XML file, we can then do XSLT or whatever onto it to get extract whatever bits of data you need for whichever bits of analysis you're trying to do for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh well, that all sounds good. So I've got one thing to check and one person to ask if she'll volunteer to be ahead. And as far as I know, that's it for me. See, I have to explain it. for one of my other things, there's now a specific wiki page that says stuff Gene has to do. And I'm beginning to think that this is quite a good idea, because I worry about not doing the stuff people expect of me. Much more than the other way around, right?
Well, I think according to the latest documentation, you're down for 5% of your 15 months on this project or something.
What documentation?
Some JAST report.
Oh, okay.
Officially.
Well, it doesn't actually make its way into my salary.
Into reality.
Uh-huh. So. But yeah, I mean, I do spend time talking to you guys. So, you're getting something out of me. Some of the software Craig develops will be useful for my other projects. So it's not completely one way to go.
So I hope you get something out of it as well.
I happen to just, like working. Keeps me referring to childcare.
Right? See, it's better than that. Right, okay. Exciting family-wise last week then.
Last week was interesting. Well, one of the highlights family-wise was going to Arcachon, which is this huge sand dune on the southwest coast of France. So it's like, I actually don't remember how, I'm not very good with measurements, but anyway, my husband says it's the biggest sand dune in the world. So you climb up on this slope steps and then it's put a line on top of the sand dune.
they put steps up over a sand dune.
We're about these things because it's amazing how much sand the small children can shift. Right? So
just by standing on it.
Guys, right? In the UK you don't go on sand dunes, right? Because there won't be any sand dunes left if you do. There doesn't seem to be quite so many people there. Mm-hmm. But you still would have thought that they wouldn't really want people standing on the top of it, unless they combine with great big bulldozers.
Yeah, well, in the middle of the night, then they couldn't shovel it back up.
I don't really know how this works. So, but anyway, it's quite fun. We did the very French thing, so it's just the French countryside. They didn't have anything except wine and ducks.
Wine and ducks, right?
Yeah. And a duck. So I stuck to the wine. And
cheese as well, at least.
Oh, duck cheese, yeah. And I hope that's the walnut on. I can only get a huge bottle, and my husband's gonna probably be willing to try it once and then I'll have one. So if anybody needs walnut oil, then. but it was good, Markets open in the morning, everything closes between 12 and 3, no sense trying to do anything, which suits
Proper
me fine. So you know, we actually went to the market and then I prepare some nice meal, and then
no,
sit around,
yes.
play some badminton. I got to cook for once, so it's good.
So you're keen badminton player?
But my son likes badminton. So, well, you know, as sports go, it's about as far as I go.
Well, I'm looking for lots of people to play badminton.
Oh, really? Well, my son says I'm a keen, very good badminton player, but I'm not sure he's ever seen a proper one.